You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Right, it's my house, the house that Mac built, the cathedral of All Marine Radio. Yeah, that's right, straight up legit. So welcome on a Friday. All kinds of shit to talk about too. I'm fired up. First, I want to talk about the president, about politics. Okay. Yeah. Since I hate him so much, I want to talk about him. So I'm watching the news yesterday. I actually had the volume up, and I hear three different times when they're talking about polls from three different stations. But remember how they got it wrong 2 years ago. And then I have Ohio man's, all his links echoing my head, but they didn't get it wrong. Well, then why does everybody think they got it wrong? Yeah. I fell off the truck, but not this morning. Up is still up. Oh, they didn't get it wrong. They got it right. Yeah, they did. That's why the whole country was downing shots of liquor that night. Half in despair, half in elation. Be Trump, President of the United States. Welcome to his house.
Welcome to my house.
Yeah. So here's what's going on around the country. It's kind of interesting. I don't know that I've ever seen a midterm election like this, right, where there's this kind of, like, animus in the air, and people want to go vote. I don't know that I've ever seen it, and I'm 61 years old. The other thought that went to my head about my age today was, oh, today's the gunner's birthday. Yeah, lest I forget, right? Lest I forget my role as moderator here, Mike Musselman. That's right. Mike Musselman. From, hold on, I gotta fit this right version. No. Okay, here's another one.
Oh, sorry, did I wake you up? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear daddy. Happy birthday to you. Love you, Dad. Bye.
Okay, that was the wrong one. That wasn't Ryan. That was Colleen. Here's another one that says happy. Let's see. What is this one? That ain't right. That sounds, Mike Musselman, 51 today. Halfway to 102. That's not what I want, though. This is what I want. Mr. President, I love this.
Darling, Mr. President, for all the things you've done, the battles that you've won, the way you deal with U.S. Steel and our problems by the ton, we thank you so much. Everybody, happy birthday!
Yeah, you can. Oh my God. She's lost her mind. Which is why I love that so much. Alright, voter turnout in the United States before I talk about politics. So yeah, happy birthday to Mike Musselman. We'll talk to him a little bit. So, big day, November 2nd. Today is the Feast of All Souls, I think. Yes? All Souls Day. Friday, November 2nd, 2018. The commemoration of all the faithful departed. That is, of the souls of all Christians who have died. Follows All Saints Day. So there you have it. Mike's birthday on All Souls Day. Good luck to his soul. That's right. So we have that going for us today too. It's All Souls Day. It's Mike's birthday. Yeah, somebody just sent me a text. Can you imagine your wife sitting there while your mistress sings happy birthday to you? Was Jacqueline Kennedy there that night? I don't think she was. I think it was just like his Rat Pack bros. Can you imagine those guys sitting around looking at each other going, oh shit, she's lost her mind. She's lost her mind. Oh my God, what is going on here? Was she drinking? What is, who is in charge of her? How did this happen? Who approved that dress? What the hell? Holy shit. Yeah, the dress they had to sew her into. Yeah. Right? And if so, Jacqueline, Kennedy's at the White, you know, she doesn't go to New York in theory. He comes in at like 3 a.m, like tries to put his keys quietly, tiptoeing in the bedroom, and all of a sudden he hears, "Are you fucking kidding me?" And you know what he's going to say, right? What? What? Right? But I don't know. I don't think that's not how rich guys do it, though. Rich guys just look and go, whatever, I'm going to bed. Yeah, that's how rich guys do it. They play by different sets of rules, I'm telling you. Voter turnout. The broadest historical trends in voter turnout in the United States presidential elections have been determined by the gradual expansion of voting rights from the initial restrictions to male property owners aged 21 or older in the early years of the country's independence to all citizens aged 18 or older in the mid-20th century. Voter turnout in the presidential elections has historically been better than the turnout for midterm elections. So, voter turnout. Turnout by income. I don't want to read that. I want total voter turnout. Turnout by race, ethnicity, U.S. popular vote for president percentage of total population. That's what I wanted. I don't know that I want that. Turnout of VAP. 55% in 2016 of VAP. Voting age people. I think that's that number. Let's see, the highest, 55.5% estimated in 2016. Let's see, these are all presidential years. 58% in 2008 when Barack Obama was elected. Let's see, 60, 61, 62, that's in the early 60s. 62% in 1960 when Johnny Kennedy got elected. And, so, yeah, that goes back to 1932. It hovers around 50% of the voting age public. 52, 57, 59, 56, 51 in 1948. Nobody gave a shit. Hey, we won the war. Who cares who's president? All right, that's when Eisenhower got elected, yes? 48? 52? No, that wouldn't have been Eisenhower. 48 was Truman reelected? Yes, Truman? Somebody? Bueller? Let's see, 52? 52 was Eisenhower? For two terms, 52 to 60? Am I right about that? That was 60, almost 62% in 1952. But the highest is almost 63% in 1960. John Kennedy. 1964 is LBJ and Humphrey? 64? That was 61.4%. 1968, right smack in the middle of Vietnam, right? Now, they dropped the voting age, I want to say, in 1976. And the percentage of voters. I know, because I went to vote with my dad. His voting advice to me. Vote for who you want to for public office. Vote no on everything else. That way nothing changes and they don't raise your taxes. There you go. Oh, there you go. That was the only political advice I ever received from my father. Moderately disengaged from what was going on. Yeah. Okay. He's a baseball guy. Living in his baseball world. No reason to leave that. Yeah, so high 63% in 1960. Despite everything that you could do to make it easier to vote, numbers decline. Low on the sheet, 1996, 49%. 49%. That is who? Bill Clinton? Clinton who? Who ran against Clinton in 96? Not sure. Not sure who the Republicans offered up for that. So that's 49. Is there any other year in the 40s? Yes. 48. Oh, this is 1924. I mean, come on. Like, who was paying attention to that? Yeah, it goes back to this number somehow. It goes back to 1826. I'm not sure if anybody was really paying attention at the local at the local jug store, right? At the local liquor mart, you know, on the porch where they were casting ballots. Hey, Mavis, did you get that one? Error. All right, here's midterm elections. Oh, shit. They don't have the same table. Not happy about that. So, hold on, bear with me. There's a lot of news today, by the way. Midterm election turnout. So, let's just say hovering at 50%, United States midterm election, hovering at 50% for the presidential elections. Oh, man, look at this. Let's see. Off year. Come on. What the hell? House seats, net gain or loss, net party. I just want numbers, man. Why is this so hard? So who won and who lost? House seats. 13-13. I don't know what. Oh, that's Democrat Republican. With great exception, only in a couple years, Bill Clinton's second term, he picked up seats in the House. George Bush's first term, well, we're talking second term. Clinton picks up 5 seats in his second term. Everybody else loses. Wow. Gerald Ford lost 48 seats. He only ran once. Filled in for Nixon once. Nixon run a second time? He ran in 68 and 72. I remember the bumper sticker, one of the all-time greatest bumper stickers I've ever seen in 1972. Don't change dicks in the middle of a screw. Vote for Nixon in 72. Hilarious. Saw on somebody's bumper rolling around in Sacramento, California. I thought that was absolutely hysterical. Second term, Wilson, Woodrow type, 1918, loses 22 seats in the House, 4 in the Senate. Franklin Delano Roosevelt loses 72 seats in the House and 7 in the Senate. In his third term, he doesn't do as bad. Well, he doesn't do as bad as House. He only loses 45 more in the House, and he loses 8 in the Senate. Harry Truman, second term, 28 in the House, 5 in the Senate. Eisenhower, 48 in the House. Eisenhower ran in 48 and 58. Eisenhower loses 48 in the House, 12 in the Senate. Why don't they have Nixon in 66-70? Nixon, the midterm election. I'm sorry, now this makes sense to me. All right, so the midterm election, Nixon loses 12, Ford loses 48, Carter loses 15, Reagan loses 26, then he loses 5 in his second term. George H.W. Bush the Elder loses 8. Clinton loses 54 in his first midterm election. He gains 5 after that. George Bush gains 8 in his first midterm, loses 30 in the House in his second. Barack Obama loses 63 seats in his first, 13 in the second. Okay, so the greatest loss of seats ever in a midterm, Barack Obama, 63, Franklin Roosevelt, 72. I think, Warren Harding lost 77. Kind of interesting. All right, how about the Senate? Woodrow Wilson picked up 3. Taft lost 9. Wilson loses 4 in his second. Harding loses 7. Coolidge loses 6. Herbert Hoover loses 6. Roosevelt in the Senate in his first midterm, right? Roosevelt picks up 9 seats in the House, and he picks up 9 seats in the Senate. Wow, that's pretty good in the Senate. That's huge. In his next, he loses 7. Next, he loses 8. This is all in the Senate now. Harry Truman loses 10 in the Senate in the first term, 5 in the Senate the second term. Eisenhower loses 2, then loses 12. Kennedy gains 4 seats. Fought a pretty even fight. He loses 4 in the House and gains 4 in the Senate. Lyndon Johnson loses 47 and loses 3. Nixon loses 12 and gains 2 in the Senate. Let me just stick to the Senate. Ford lost 4. Carter lost 2. Reagan, 0 his first. Reagan loses 8 the second. Bush the Younger, not really a favorite child of this radio show. He and the rest of the morons that made up that administration. Anyway, Bill Clinton loses 9, and then he loses 0. His second midterm. George Bush loses or gains 1 in the Senate in his first midterm, loses 6 in the second. Barack Obama loses 6 and loses 9. In the Senate, shit, man. They went from 57 seats in a Democratic-controlled Senate to 51, and then they went from 51 to, or they went to 53, evidently with replacements. I don't know whatever else happened, but 53 to 44, yikes. So there you have it. So if President Trump gained seats in the Senate, he would be with George Bush, Richard Nixon, careful with that one, John Kennedy, FDR, and Woodrow Wilson as the only presidents to add seats in the Senate in the midterm. So there you have it. So, and you know what, here's what I was thinking about. So here's my commentary on politics. If you thought it was bad now, okay, now the Democrats get to gavel everything in the House, right? And it's going nowhere because they won't get anything through the Senate. So we'll sit for 2 years and watch that show. So that's going to be, again, if you thought people were pissed when they elected Trump, what is going to be the climate of the electorate in 2020 after we watch 2 years, another 2 years of dysfunctional government when nothing's going to get done? People are going to be pissed. Do you think pissed off people, and especially, it's all aimed at the kind of independent swing voters, right? They're the ones that elect the president. They're going to vote for Bernie Sanders? Never. They're going to vote for any of that left wing of the Democratic Party? No. So the Democratic Party is going to have a knockdown drag out over the future. The most electable person in the Democratic Party is Joe Biden. He's at least a throwback to what the Democratic Party used to be, which was, you know, centrist, right? Socially liberal, right? Like to spend money on social programs, but they weren't anti-defense. They weren't, they were the party of the working class. Somehow or other, they've abandoned that. They've become the party of the welfare class. And so independents they're not going to play that game. So we have 2 years of just horrific, horrific craziness coming out of Washington, D.C., and then we'll see who the nation wants as a new president. And independents are not going to buy what Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren are selling. Just not going to do it. So, and the Democrats can swoon all they want over that kind of crap. But again, I just don't think it's not fiscally sustainable to create a welfare state here, to create a socialist nation out of the United States. So, anyway, states have tried it. Doesn't work. So, anyway. So, that'll be the climate going into 2020. Nice. I want to thank Libby for sending me a birthday present. She thought it was she saw Michael's birthday and assumed it was me. It was a gunner. I got the gunner's birthday present. Yeah, too bad, Mike. As Joey Cora would say, or Alex Cora would say, suck it. So want to thank her for that. Bob Dole in 1996. Bob Dole. That's who it was. So, true to form, the house should, true to historical form, the migration of the house to the other party would be normal. But the question is going to be what, you know, the president was on talking about immigration yesterday. And although some of his stuff, like, is wrong, you know, to me, one of the things he said was like, bing, a little light went off. If you're going to claim asylum, why are you sneaking into the country? Present yourself at a port of entry and say, I'm an asylum seeker. Don't yell asylum after you've been caught sneaking into the country. We're not going to play that game. And at some point, I mean, even the Democrats have to offer something to secure the southern border so we can deal with the problem inside the country. And they are absolutely silent. They don't want to talk about it. Right? You haven't heard a word about it from any of them. You know, they want to make Donald Trump, right, the referendum of the election. Big job numbers out today. Never in the history of the country have more people been employed. So, not bad news before the election. So we'll see what happens. It'll be interesting. I want to talk about a term I saw as I was doing some research yesterday. It applies to Mike, too, speaking of Mike. It's called polytrauma triad. Pain, traumatic brain injury, PTSD. So, anyway, I read about stuff like that. Another headline. Study, mental illness, not combat, causes soldier suicide. Anyway, so we'll talk about that. Maybe not today, but at some point. Just wanted to share some of that stuff with you. All right. I should probably start the show before I go in to play the Commandant's birthday message. So you'll hear that. And today you'll, and then there's some interesting headlines. This headline, I talked about Afghanistan yesterday and how Afghanistan makes sense, right? So if you didn't listen to that, listen to it, right? If you want to be smart. All right. This is not going, headline in Military Times. This is not going to be one militarily. Top U.S. commander in Afghanistan reveals pessimism. That's not pessimism. See, headline writers, I know you probably didn't finish school and you started doing work out of high school and all you're doing is write something, you know, that is clickbait, right? And I guess if that's a standard, like, you win, okay? But it's not pessimism. It's an insurgency. The nature of insurgency is political. Right? How many insurgencies have been destroyed militarily? Virtually zero. Okay? They get dealt with in other ways. If not, they last forever. So anyway, I want to talk about General Miller's comments that he made. Afghan ex-president Karzai welcomes Gitmo 5. That were exchanged for an army soldier. I don't even like to say his name because the last time I said his name on the program, I think, it might not have been the last time, I used the F word like 30 times in a row. Then the gunner got pissed at me and said I couldn't do that. And so there was supposed to be no profanity in the third hour, which lasted like not even a day. And then he started, and I said, wait a minute. So anyway, but those five, President Karzai welcomes the Gitmo 5 into peace talks, sees a post-war role for the Taliban. Well, you're not going to get them to the table unless they do have a role. I want to talk about California, up near Victorville, is naming a road in honor of R. Lee Ermey. That's right. Gunnery Hartman. And when you drive on it, the road's going to play the Marines hymn. I don't know if I like that. Honestly, I don't know if I like that, because you know what's going to happen as soon as you start putting that stuff up? People are going to deface that shit. So I don't know if I like that. I have mixed feelings about it. Arizona Marine recruiting station firebombed with a Molotov cocktail-like explosive. Talk about that. Fewer veterans were homeless in 2018 after a worrisome rise last year. Memorabilia from astronauts Armstrong and Glenn up for auction. I'm just kind of curious to see what they're auctioning. All right. Listen, and here's a story for you. Better Call Saul actor confesses to cutting off his own arm and lying about being a wounded war veteran? What? Like, what in God's name is going on the planet? Hello? I also need to tell you why the Arizona Memorial at Pearl Harbor, the USS Arizona Memorial, won't reopen until March. So they've had some stability issues. And so we'll talk about that. So, like I said, there's a lot of news. A lot of stuff going on. And it's the Gunner's birthday. And it's the Feast of All Souls. So with all that going on, we will go ahead and kick off the program. Whitney Houston, God rest her soul, is singing today. So, good morning to you. Dedicated to the Gunner today. Yeah, this is dedicated to Mike Musselman. Happy birthday, bud.
We have fought. You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
My fellow Americans, I'm pleased to tell you today that I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, he goes, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once the bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Once you're out of the core, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful, and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me, I'm a poor veteran, or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
By the way, I told the Commandant, I said, you know, I used that little line, but your audio people screwed it up. Your voice kind of trailed off. I did a little editing. Made your voice sound bigger. It sounds better. He said, I appreciate it. I said, I'm looking out for you all the time. The weather. Currently cloudy and 66 in Quantico. Nice day back there. Partly cloudy, or mostly cloudy, and 74 at Camp Lejeune. Granbury, Texas has sun and some clouds, and 53. 29 Palms, sunny and 58. Camp Pendleton, sun and 50. In Okinawa, Japan, dark cloudy 72, so pretty normal. In the Al-Anbar province, it is late in the day. It is 75 degrees under clear skies. In the Helmand province of Afghanistan, it is clear, dark, and 60, cooled off there. And in Costa Mesa, California, 57 degrees under sunny skies. Looking for a high of 83 today. Whoa, that's a lot. 57 to 83, man. Tomorrow, 81 with sun, and then mostly sunny and 77 on Sunday. That is a look at your weather. So we're not taking a break. We'll go straight into the news. First story, Commandant's birthday message. All right, here you have it.
To before you came into the Marine Corps.
Uh-oh.
At some point, you saw or met a Marine, and you thought, do I have what it takes to be one of them? So you made the commitment. You accepted the challenge. In your first act of demonstrating faithfulness, you swore to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States. As a Marine, for hours upon hours, focused on one thing, you worked hard, fighting, training, sweating, refining that warrior spirit, earning that EGA.
this for me, you know what I'm saying? The work only begins now, got it?
You
understand?
Ensuring you'd be worthy of the title Marine. You joined your first unit. You worked at learning your MOS. You listened to the NCOs and other leaders as they led and shaped you. You received your first promotion and a second promotion. And with each promotion, your responsibilities increased, just like others' expectations of you. You were proud, but you knew that nothing was getting easier. Life, the mission, all of it. And then you deployed. And you were focused. The mission was clear. The challenges were there. You were there with your friends and the rest of the unit. The sorrow, the joy. All of it became real. Not just lessons and stories from NCOs. And then you came home. And you prepared to do it again. And again. And maybe there were more promotions. Maybe you fell in love and started a family. And now the new Marines are looking to you for advice and leadership. And like those before you, you taught, you trained them, you led them well. And then seemingly overnight, there you are. And now this is you. Still a Marine. Continuing to demonstrate your faithfulness to our Corps, our country, and to each other. You are Semper Fidelis, Marine. Every Marine needs to see these wheat fields. On the 6th of June, 1918, Marines crossed the line of departure and attacked the west side of Belleau Wood, charging through this field through heavy enemy fire. They paid a high price for their bravery. But they fought and they won because they were Marines. Because they were led by people like Gunnery Sergeant Fred Stockham, a man who gave his gas mask to a fellow Marine, an action of self-sacrifice, which earned him the Medal of Honor. 1918 is a proud year for our Marine Corps. While Marines led the way in Belleau Wood, new Marines were stepping up at home. The first female Marines joined our ranks, bolstering our force during a time of war. For 100 years, they have served faithfully, helping win battles around the globe, including recent conflicts in Iraq and Afghanistan. 100 years ago, they answered the nation's call, and they have been serving faithfully ever since. This dedication to victory is something we can trace back to every conflict in our history. It defines us. It defines warriors like Gunnery Sergeant John Canley, a leader who led from the front. With his Marines outnumbered, he pushed forward during the Battle of Way City, standing tall during firefights and throwing himself into harm's way to keep his fellow Marines safe.
The only thing I was doing was just responding. The Marines, the young Marines, it shows them that it's not do as I say, it's do as I do. And just being that close with them brings motivation to them.
During firefights, when we'd be all hugging Mother Earth, he'd be standing up directing us. And I think if you talk to every Alpha Company Marine, we're amazed that he was never shot.
He is individually and uniquely responsible for saving the lives of a lot of good young Marines.
My legacy was about taking care of Marines, because I don't think that there was anyone that was more demanding than Gunnery Sergeant Canley.
The President of the United States, in the name of Congress, takes pleasure in awarding the Congressional Medal of Honor to Gunnery Sergeant John L. Canley, United States Marine Corps.
For 243 years, Marines have fought and won whenever and wherever our nation calls. In the harshest conditions, over the most brutal terrain, and against the most formidable enemies, Marines defend the ideals of freedom, grit, and tenacity.
Though battlefields will change and capabilities evolve, history tells us that true victory comes from the individual Marine. A Marine with steeled resolve, the drive to overcome any obstacle, and the warrior spirit to fight and win against all odds.
That is how battles are won. It takes a steadfast faith, suffer for doubts, to Corps, country, and each other.
Happy birthday, Marines.
And simple fidels.
Motivated. I got to find Sergeant Major Greens. You got to hear Sergeant Major Greens. At 60. Is that it? Hold on, let me find it. That's a great message too. You might hear Canley's. It's not do as I say, it's do as I do. You gotta hear Sergeant Major Green's Halloween message on Twitter. It's really funny. 18th SM. All right. Stand by. 18th. There you have it. He calls a little trick-or-treater. He calls a little trick-or-treater motivator. All right. Here you go. Alright. Let me restart this thing. Alright. Stand by. Here you go. Here's his message. Alright. So, little girl, alright, in a Wonder Woman costume, coming up to a set of steps that lead up to his house, in theory. Okay, that's him as in his utilities, right? Oh, comes to the door and opens it.
Swallow, lady.
Trick or treat.
And who are you supposed to be?
I'm Wonder Woman.
Oh, a warrior. I got something for you. Now protect what you burn, motivator.
What the?
He drops an MRE in her orange candy bucket. She says, "I'm Wonder Woman." He says, "You're a warrior?" Then he drops the MRE, and then he calls her motivator. I don't know why I thought that shit was funny, but I did.
Trick or treat.
And who are you supposed to be?
I'm Wonder Woman.
Oh, a warrior. I got something for you. Now protect what you burn, motivator.
What the?
And she says, what the? It's funny. You know, let me tell you, those stupid little things, don't think they don't have an impact. In my opinion, they have a greater impact than, you know, something serious most of the time you would say, because, you know, guys will share this and say, hey, check this out. This shit's funny. So, well done to whoever's idea that was. I thought it was a good one. Anyway. So, 7:51, I'm already behind. I haven't even started. This sucks. All right, next story. This is not going to be won militarily. I know this is shocking news for people, but, right, negotiated settlement. The new U.S. general leading the mission in Afghanistan says, gave a surprisingly candid interview this week on the situation in country. In his first interview since taking command of NATO's Resolute Support mission in September, U.S. Army General Austin Miller's thoughts seem to mirror the pessimism felt by the American people as the war in Afghanistan treads past the 17-year mark. This is not going to be won militarily. You know what? That's not breaking news. He goes on, my assessment is the Taliban also realizes that they won't win militarily. So if you realize you can't win militarily, at some point, fighting is just, people start asking why. So do you not necessarily wait us out? But I think now is the time to start working through the political piece of this conflict. So anyway, is that breaking news? Anyway, all right, next story. Afghan ex-president Karzai welcomes Gitmo 5 in the peace talks, right? Sees post-war role for the Taliban. Former President Hamid Karzai, who still wields considerable influence in today's Afghanistan, despite being out of office for 4 years, said Thursday he welcomes the entry of 5 Taliban leaders who were freed from the U.S. military prisons in Guantanamo Bay in 2014 into peace negotiations. He spoke to the Associated Press on the grounds of the presidential palace where he lives with his young family and meets regularly with tribal leaders, Afghan government officials, and foreign notables. Just last week, the U.S. ambassador to Afghanistan stopped by Karzai's office where Karzai attached several conditions to Washington's effort to find a negotiated end to the protracted struggle. So anyway, the good news about that, like, I don't know how I feel about the Gitmo 5 being a part of it. But let me tell you, I heard somebody say yesterday that the more inclusive the talks, the firmer the peace is. And you know what? History would probably bear that out. So again, if everybody's not hurting a little bit, it's probably not a good deal. So as much as we were to recoil from that, probably not a bad thing to do. All right, California Road to honor Marine icon R. Lee Ermey. All right, Gunnery Sergeant Artman. And play the Marines hymn. I have mixed feelings about it. Yeah, it sounds like, oh, it's going to be awesome, and then what happens to it? Yeah, exactly. It turns into a shit show. A 7-mile stretch of road in Palmdale, California, known as Avenue N, will be renamed R. Lee Ermey Avenue in honor of the acclaimed actor and Marine veteran, according to a fundraising page associated with Ermey's supporters. Stars and Stripes reported that the stretch of road will also play the Marines hymn when driving over special grooves in the road. California officials with Palmdale and Lancaster, Los Angeles County, and California Department of Transportation approved the effort to rename the avenue but lacked the funding to put the endeavor into action. Supporters of Ermey have since sprung into action by launching a GoFundMe page to raise $150,000 to pay for street signs, highway signs, and memorial plaques, according to the fundraising page. The stretch of road will be renamed, was closest to Ermey's home of nearly 20 years, the Antelope Valley Press reported. He passed away at the age of 74 due to complications from pneumonia. Failman 11. So stay tuned for that. Sometimes that stuff makes me mad. Listen to this. Arizona Marine recruiting station firebombed with Molotov cocktail-like explosive. A Marine recruiting station was one of the targets of a series of firebombings to hit Tucson, Arizona on Tuesday. The Corps said it was aware of the recent vandalism against its recruiting station in Tucson. There were no injuries. No personnel were present during the early morning hours when the incident occurred. Quote, there was minimal damage to the station and operations have not been interrupted. First Lieutenant Andrew Wood, spokesman for the Marine Corps, told Marine Corps Times in an emailed statement, the safety of our recruiters, civilian employees, and prospective applicants is a top priority, so we will continue to cooperate with local authorities as they lead the ongoing investigation. Fewer veterans were homeless in 2018 after a worrisome rise last year. The number of homeless veterans, I don't know how they measure this, honestly, decreased by about 5% this year, according to, 5% fewer went through the turnstiles. Come on. According to new estimates from federal researchers, an encouraging turnaround after disappointing results the year before. I don't know that you measure this trend line annually, although you certainly take the measurements. What will be impressive is over time you see sustained movement downward. Housing and urban officials now estimate that 38,000 veterans across the country are without stable housing on any given night, roughly half the number on the streets in 2010. The drop among female veterans in the last year was even more significant. HUD officials estimated a 10% drop in the homelessness among that population and credited the good news with a continued commitment from federal, state, and local leaders on the issue. Of course, we're going to take credit for it, right? We funded it. So we'll see. Memorabilia from astronaut Neil Armstrong and John Glenn are both up for auction. Let's get to the items. One is a gold flight helmet that says Navy on it. The sons of legendary astronaut Matt Carpenter say he and his little brother were blessed to grow up around some pretty interesting stuff. That included the extraordinary headgear the boys would wear during youthful afternoons spent pretending to be fighter pilots. When we were young, as far back as I can remember, we would play naval aviators on the couch, and either my brother or I would wear the gold Glenn Navy helmet, and one of us would wear a helmet that belonged to my father, Carpenter said. That's Glenn, as in John Glenn, first American to orbit the Earth, and their father, Scott Carpenter. Both men were among Mercury 7 group of astronauts that piloted America's first manned spacecraft in the 1960s. You know, I would be curious to understand a little bit more about how they did that. What guided it? You launched the rocket. What guided it in an age when probably your phone's got more computer power than that capsule had on it? How did they do that? How did it function? Now both astronauts are gone. And Map says the brothers want the public to get a chance at the gold helmet, which Glenn wore while setting the transcontinental speed record during 1957's Project Bullet. He gave it to Carpenter, who was a good friend, as a gift. But it says Neil Armstrong. A series of auctions involving some 2,000 artifacts and mementos owned by Neil Armstrong, the first person to walk on the moon, begins Thursday and runs through November 2019. The event now brings together three big names in aviation history: Glenn, Armstrong, and Wright. Among Armstrong's personal items are pieces of a wing and propeller from the 1903 Wright Flyer. Wow. The first successful heavier-than-air powered aircraft. Armstrong, who like Glenn and brothers Wilbur and Orville Wright was from Ohio, took the items with him to the moon. As with the Glenn helmet, Armstrong's items landed in the lap of the next generation after the famed astronaut died in 2012. Carpenter died in 2013. Glenn followed in 2016 at the age of 95. The last surviving Mercury 7 astronaut. An estate sale of his belongings took place in March. So there you have it. If you're a space geek, get your wallet out. And this story is, you know, it's why the internet was invented, for stories like this. Better Call Saul actor confessed to cutting off his own arm, lying about being wounded, a wounded war veteran. In one of the most bizarre and gruesome cases of stolen valor came to light this week when an actor who recently appeared on a popular TV show admitted to cutting off his own arm and lying about being a wounded war veteran. Todd LaTourette, who most recently appeared, this is crazy, in season 4 of AMC's Breaking Bad prequel series, quote, Better Call Saul, told Albuquerque's KOB-4 that he sawed off and cauterized his own arm 17 years ago out of depression to earn more acting roles. I severed my hand with a skill saw, he said, adding that he had stopped taking medication for bipolar disorder at the time. The state of my mind was psychotic. The actor did wind up landing a number of smaller supporting roles afterwards while maintaining a story that he had been wounded in combat overseas. The film industry obviously took a different angle, he said. I was different, so they liked that. But the actor now realizes that he was only hired because of his ongoing deception, a revelation, he said, is tough to live with. Quote, I was dishonorable. I'm killing my career by doing this. If anyone thinks this was for personal edification, that's not the case. I'm outing myself from the New Mexico film industry, and gladly so, just to say what I said. Lorette insisted that he didn't expect anyone to forgive him, but does hope his experience might be a lesson to someone else struggling with mental illness. The power is in your hands to take your medication in the morning or at night, he said. This discourse of my life doesn't need to necessarily be yours, because it happens quick. It happens quick. Not really sure what to say about that. It's not really, you know what? The story's not, is the headline's bullshit, all right? The story's about mental health. When you talk about bipolar disease and people that don't take their medication, there's a reason those people are on powerful medications, because if you're bipolar, that's not good. So, anyway, all right, so we'll take a break right now. Fastest hour in show business, that's right. All right, when we come back, the All-American Radio head chef's going to join us. So we'll talk to him, we'll see what he's got going on. And it's prime rib season. He's a big prime rib guy. So Marine Corps birthday ball is upon us, and people eat prime rib. There's people that make it. So the recipe's on the website, but we might talk a little bit about prime rib here, because he's a fanatic about prime rib. So don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio coming up next on a Friday edition on your home for that great program. Let me tell you, I'm fired up. Going to Mankato next week and speaking there, and then working on the speaking in at Camp Lejeune at the end of the month. So fired up. Fired up about it. And now we'll see if it all takes place. But fired up. So don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio coming up. News.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when the group can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
Hi, this is Tim McGarry from the McGarry Mortgage Minute. Heard every Wednesday right here on All Marine Radio, where I'll answer all your mortgage questions from home buying to home financing, from VA to conventional loans to moving in. So don't miss it. The McGarry Mortgage Minute, right here on All Marine Radio. on the All Warrior Radio Network. And remember, my name is McGarry, and I'm here to help.
Find all of Tim McGarry's contact information on the Readboard page at allmarineradio.com.